Welcome back to Super Tati's for Parshas Vayeshev. We'll begin this week with some stories. The first one is about Hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who was taking a taxi cab to get where he was going, and along with him, he was not traveling alone, he was traveling with one of his Talmidim, and that became a critical fact in this story. So he's traveling with his Talmud, and the driver was unfortunately extraordinarily reckless. So this reckless driver, they're bobbing and weaving and speeding and doing all the terrible things that you really shouldn't do as a driver, and it was getting pretty tense and getting pretty intense, and it was only a matter of time until he got in an accident, and lo and behold, the driver did get in an accident, and Rosh Hashanah was silent. And finally, Baruch Hashem, nobody got hurt, so they just kind of kept on going on after everything was masudr. And then as soon as the Talmud got out of the car, Rav Shlomo Zalman let the driver have it. How could you be so misaking everybody? Like, what are you doing? Don't you understand? This is Sakonos Nefashos. We can't do this to other people. Like, I understand you want to get there quicker, but this is not the way to do it. And all the appropriate muster that you would expect somebody to give to somebody else. And he says at the end of it, and I would have told you earlier had we not had my Talmud in the car, because I knew that it would be embarrassing. So this is a really interesting and provocative story to me, because in my view, if it would have been Hatzalas Nefashos, then you should be able to embarrass them because it's Ki'ilu Shofech Damim. But in this instance, they're acting like they're a real roadie for other people. So I'm confident that Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't feel like he was enough of a sakana to embarrass him. But at the same time, it was enough to give a significant and serious and loving tochacha. So I know general ideas of what to get for this. Obviously, I wasn't there when this transpired, so it's very, very hard for me to go, you know, above and beyond that. One is that obviously putting other people in sakana is a very, very, very terrible thing. And the other one is that embarrassing somebody else is also a very, very, very terrible thing, both of which are tantamount, or can lead to a kind of a murderous position in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Shlomo Zalman obviously could be mashayer the situation far, far better than I ever could. But these are two lekachs that we want to tell, that great sensitivity to other people's lives and great sensitivity to other people's emotions as well. Next, a great story about Rav Pinkus. He was asked a particular shaila about tzitzis and which sorts of begadim, which sorts of clothing would be chayiv and tzitzis, and whether somebody should wear this one or that one. Obviously, there's a discussion, you know, with wool and with cotton and with nylon and all those undershirts and so on and so forth. So I don't need to get into the details of the shaila as much as the details of the response, and here's why. Rav Shimshon Pinkus responded very, very simply. He said, when it comes to halacha, we're all in business. We're looking to see what is the way that we can arrive at the most profit? And that's the way that we look at the Mishnah Berurah. When we learn the Mishnah Berurah, we're trying to understand, well, what is the best way to do something, whatever this procedure is, you know, what's the best way that I can be marviach, the way that I can gain the very most. So this is an important hashkafa to share with your family. It's not what can I get away with, what do people do, not all these other things, but what is really the appropriate and best way for us all to be properly mashbiach, marviach, pardon me. Next one, and it will be mashbiach. Next thing is that, you know, the love and charifus between the Meshech Chochma and the Ragat Shavar in the town of Dvinsk is well known and well documented, and here's a great story. There was a back and forth in between the Meshech Chochma and the Ragat Shavar, as usual, and the idea came, he said, I believe it was the Ragat Shavar in this story, said, I know how we'll resolve this problem. Let's go ask a Balabas. Okay, we'll ask the Balabas. It's a little disparaging to Balabatim, but, you know, this is just a general Mahalich in humor. You know, those who are constantly involved in learning have a different perspective than Balabatim and can also get, usually seem to be able to get neck deep into concepts much easier than Balabatim, who are juggling a lot of things in life. So it's not to completely disparage, but like, you know, many of us are not Rosh of Arubo, in these sorts of areas. They said, let's ask a balabas. They asked a balabas and said, you know, whatever the balabas says, we'll know the opposite is true. So the balabas said, like, the Rugachover's svara. And then the Meshech Chochma said, you see, the balabas said like you, so it must be that I'm right. And the Rugachover responded, he said, no. He didn't think hard enough. If he thought hard enough, he would have said, like you, and it means that I'm right. So what do you make of this story? You make this story that the lekach that I want to make is that it's very important and very valuable not to run away entirely from your personality. If you have bad midos traits, those absolutely need to be worked on and changed. And this is what the Gra says when it says, you know, if you don't, you're not there to fix up your midos, lama lo chayim. But the same sense, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you a beautiful voice, a beautiful sense of humor, or other kishronos, those are able to be used in Avodas Hashem, and the delight that Talmidei Chachamim take with their learning, and they take their personalities with them, so long as it's not dangerous or disparaging, it can be really a beautiful thing. So just appreciate the Rugachover and the Meshech Chochma for who they were. Next, just two beautiful, quick Hashgachas Pratis stories. Maybe 6 weeks ago, somebody was sitting at my Yontif table, and mentioned to me that he met his wife through a certain interesting practice. She had a Sephardi neighbor who gave for Hilchos Chanukah, around Chanukah, when it came to Zos Chanukah, she told her to find her husband to, as a skula, to write this little note and put it under or in the menorah, and then she'll find her husband or whatever. And she did it. And we just thought, wow, that's a very interesting story. Sometimes the Sephardim do interesting and idiosyncratic spiritual things that we don't fully understand. And lo and behold, I was in Eretz Yisrael and somebody's giving out free kuntresim. And in the end of this kuntres about Chanukah, it says skulos. And one of the two skulos is indeed this. I got to send it to that person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives you really wonderful hashgacha to be able to help you out. And I believe it gave this person a lot of chizuk. Second story that is very nice is one of our listeners is always asking or is very interested in getting stories about Sephardi Gedolim. It seems that my sources are not as Sephardi as they should be, and not as Shavu'ot Kol Nefesh. So he asked me, and I said, can you help me find sources? He just had a baby, so it's very hard for him to, you know, to conjure up the sources, help me find the right books or whatever. So the other kuntres that was giving out was a bunch of stories about the Ben Ish Chai. So God willing, I'll be able to have more coming up. Next is our two questions. The first question is, in Lamed Zayin, Lamed Hey, we have this concept Rashi brings down, a person can't take Tanchumen on somebody who's alive and they think that they're dying. So there, why is Yaakov crying if Yosef was not Nishtachach Min Alev, and that means that he wasn't really dead? Second is really Amarim Mokom, by the Besamim, when Yosef is sold and he gets to smell the Besamim, take a look. Why is it Davka? Like, what is the messaging we're supposed to get from the Besamim? Take a look in Mishulchan Rav Elia Baruch. Rav Elia Baruch Finkel has a beautiful Mahalech there of seven or eight different approaches al pi Musar and how they would explain the Besamim. Really a very nice thing to be ma'arich with your families, to try to understand the different mahalchim in Musar. Next, Divrei Torah. First one is from Aaron Karliner. He says, "Hu nar by Yosef." So what does it mean that he's a nar? It means that he had hischadshus like a nar. So it's a very important idea to have hischadshus generally in Avodas Hashem. It's not something that we are, you know, hischadshus mongers, but the idea is that we're supposed to be seeking ways to make sure that we feel fresh and excited in what we do. That's not a condition for us doing it, but somebody who does feel that, that's a real mila and can give a real boost to their Avodas Hashem. Next up, a few Rav Meir Simchas for this week, since we're trying to do a few more Meir Simchas this year. First is in Lamed Zayin Dalad. The Yiru Echav, the brothers saw him, ki oso ahav avim. So their father Yaakov loved Yosef the most, mikol Echav, of the brothers, and v'yisnu oso. So what does Rav Meir Simcha say? if we don't see this Lashon, they would have thought that he was loved because he was in the children of Rachel. And therefore, Yaakov would love her children more than all of them. But when they saw they loved Yosef more than all of the other brothers, including Binyamin, who was one of the children of Rachel, this was certainly because of, they thought, the diba, the bad mouthing that Yosef did about them. And he thought that they thought that he was bringing them down instead of to bring him up. And that's why they hated him. So it's very important. One of the things that we need to always remember is we do not speak to bring other people down. Lamed Zayin Vav. Shimuna Cholam. V'hineh anachnu ma'alumim alumim. According to Rav Meir Simcha, he says that Yosef is giving them tochacha. Why are you hating me? Is this not the law? Do tshuva. Don't hate me, because then Hashem will be happy with you. And this is what the Chazal understand in the Medrash. It says, this is the way that Nevi'im give tochacha. And in the second dream, he told them, this lama'an yasiru sinasam, so this could get rid of your hate, because this is not holding back kavod or a mila to them. It's not anything bad per se to give them. They just saw, in the dream, even the father is going to bow to them. Doesn't have anything to them vis-a-vis their brothers. And that's why it says, V'kan'u bo echov. They have the jealousy then. The aviv shamar es adavar. But Yaakov just kept his heart about it. And there was jealousy. B'chol adam miskane chut mi beno. Because Yaakov didn't have that kina. And that is, I guess, the difference. He tries to give them tochacha for that particular issue.
I apologize. I had a lot more to share, but I ran out of time. So I'm going to just conclude with an idea that came up this week from the Chidah in his Pirush on Mishlei, which is just extraordinary in every way. The pasuk from Shlomo Melech teaches us, says that, Al tochach leitz pen yisna eka hochach lachacham yaveka. So it says that you should not, when it comes to a leitz, a scoffer, do not give them tochacha, lest they hate you. But with respect to a chacham, if you give them tochacha, they're going to love you. The pashut pshat means that chachamim want to improve, and leitzim don't want to look themselves in the eye. It's just such a terrible thing. And we've mentioned before the famous gra that says that, tochacha is like looking in a mirror. A beautiful person will look in a mirror and say, well, tell me of any blemish so I can make sure that my appearance looks as beautiful as humanly possible. Whereas somebody who's really an ugly person, like a leitz, they don't want to look in the mirror because they're going to just expose all of their terrible blemishes. That's the mahalach of the gra. Now listen to the lekach that the Chidah says. It says, when we talk about the leitz and the chacham, it's actually talking about the same person. Instead of saying you can't give tochacha to a leitz and you should give tochacha to a chacham, he's saying when you approach a person, you can't tell them they're a leitz. You can't approach them like they're a leitz and say, you're a bum, you're bad, you're doing terrible things. This is all meaning, while everything you're saying is true, it's not going to be niskabel, and we're not allowed to give tochacha that's going to be accepted. But what if it happens instead that you approach somebody and you treated them like they're a chacham and said, look, a person of your intelligence, a person of your capabilities, a person of your stature and your level of refinement, you really could do better here, and I think that there's more for you. I think that that's something that's going to be acceptable. So it's just a lekach specifically. I mean, if we're talking to our children around the table, first thing, they're going to be receiving guidance from us in many different instances, and the way that we give it to them is going to really affect them. And second, when it comes to the way that they're going to interact with other people, they're going to have to learn how to deal with the world. And dealing with the world, the best way to influence people is to see the greatness in them and to share the greatness of them and to acknowledge the greatness of them. And this is a great mahalach. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.